Blog Talk Radio.
Those that mirror the unknown to us through
their behavior. And there have to be those that get the insights. The known is light or insight that has already been accessed. In other words, there are those who play the fool, and there are those who play the sages. If, on the other hand, we reject them, not realizing that our battles are never against others, they are but players upon the stage. Our battle has and always shall be for perception. Thus, if we battle those that represent the illusion, we are but slashing at windmills in the sky. We are denying their right and value to be. And that which is denied its right to exist, its place in the sun, that which is unacknowledged, is strengthened, grows more strong and virulent. It is in understanding that the darkness is made light. Let us now take a look at why life on Earth has been so painful. Why there has been so very much to forgive. The Earth has been a very important place in the cosmos. Yes, this tiny little speck. Because the largest bridge still has a single point as its fulcrum point, as the point upon which it pivots. From all levels of existence, you and I have come to Earth because of its vital role in being the way-shower, in taking us back to the heart of God from whence we sprang. The Earth is that single point upon which the cosmos pivots. And it is for this reason that the lightest of the light and the darkest of the dark have come to play their part upon this final stage of descension. And that as the audience gets enough of the insights, we can round the corner and begin the ascension. It is not usual within the cosmic planetary systems for such diversity to exist on one planet. It is painful for the way-showers, for the light promoters, to be put into the friction of interacting with the light repressors, the illusion givers. Where there is a great difference between polarity. Awareness moves at its most potent levels. Growth is at its optimum levels. It is here, where the corner had to be turned. And in February of 2005, the Earth turned the corner. And many rushed from the cosmos to see what an epic drama had begun. For the Earth had become the Wayshower, the grand cosmic archetype. But the life of an archetype is not an easy one. The role requires that we transmute within the One that which belongs to the many. The cosmos finally transitioned, with the Earth leading its way from the out-breath of God back to the in-breath of God. Those on Earth had to resolve to the best of their ability painful karma on behalf of many races. For a certain quota of resolution, a certain amount of karma had to be solved for races to survive the ascension back to the heart of God. And so, with great compassion, many of us have come to Earth to live out the karma of these races. And in doing so, and bringing understanding and forgiveness, the many were elevated. Whenever our experiences feel and have felt larger than life, indeed, beloved ones, it is because they were. Humankind have become the cosmic saviors for those races who were not enhancing of life, have disappeared, absorbed back into the sea of consciousness. No longer permitted as individuated life forms. Therefore, we have solved as the archetypes of the cosmos on behalf of the many, painfully living these experiences. And some of us had to play the roles of those that mirror the undeveloped light, the unyielded insights, and we have played the roles of those who must get these insights. What then is forgiveness? Forgiveness is seeing that there is nothing to forgive. Forgiveness is understanding the innocence of the stage play. If some had to play the perception givers, and others had not volunteered to play those roles, would we not have had to? Someone had to, because polarity is the basis of all movement within the cosmos, which is growth. both. And when that polarity closes the gap between the negative and the positive pole, growth slows down. On the journey away from the heart of God, the red road out to explore the unknown portions of beingness. It made sense for those who had the most perception to be the martyrs, to take the pain. For what is pain but the desire to change? And in the times when those of vision suffered under those who did not see the interconnectedness of all life, the pain prompted them, if they could not change their circumstances, to change their perception. And thus we have grown deep in the knowledge that our experience has brought. It did not make any sense to ask those who had undertaken to place upon themselves a certain amount of illusion that they might play the perpetrators of our life, that they might play the villains on stage. It did not make sense to ask them to be the ones to get the perception. And so, the enlightened became the martyrs, the ones who had to endure that they might see. But when the full cosmic ascension started, this grand event signaled a change. For as the cosmos raised up level by level in consciousness, it no longer was needed that enlightenment came by martyrdom. Instead, it was those who had played the illusion that were absorbed back into the sea of consciousness, not able to survive the rays in consciousness that all life was experiencing since 2005. As their forms and their individuations dissolved, energy was released. Energy that enabled us, those who promote the light, to much easier see behind the appearances what is really going on. And in seeing it, forgiveness came easily. But those unresolved issues in our lives are pushing to be resolved. We now have more energy, more consciousness. They want to yield their insight. And when we refuse to take time for the deep, meaningful examination of our experiences, they push by either manifesting more mirrors of the same in our face, or as dis-ease in the body. Disease is the language of spirit that tells us that there are insights waiting for us to get, that there are attitudes that must be changed accordingly, that there are emotions that must be purified and transmuted through perception. And now it is easier for us to gain those insights. And when we do, a great miracle occurs. It is no longer necessary for those playing the undeveloped light to play those old roles. They can move on to gathering insights on their own. It is an act of mercy to not let foolish behavior in our environment go to waste. It is the act of a light promoter dedicated to enhance all life, to see behind the illusion of another's cruelty, of another's unkindness or deceit, to what is really being mirrored, that that person may step off the treadmill and move forward into other roles that are less painful. When life pushes into the unknown, passionately striving to turn the unknown into the known, how can it define what this unknown is about? It observes it in the mirrors around it. We are the perception getters, and as we delve deeply into the experiences of our life, the unknown is mirrored by those in our environment. And as we observe them in their illusion or their folly, we have just promoted the growth of the cosmos. Every being has this privilege and right. Every time they refuse to take life at face value, but deal with the real part of life, indwelling life, that lies behind the appearances. There are some steps when confronted with a problem. First of all, let us recognize that the infinite sends nothing but good. The infinite sends lessons or gifts, and ultimately, they are the same. Great are the gifts that lie in the lessons. What is it that we have learned the most from in our life? Our times of joy or our times of hardship? And does it have to always be this hard? For eons, the light promoters have suffered, but no more. Through the dissolving of those who have mirrored the illusion to us, we finally have enough energy at our disposal that we can adhere to the whispers. We can listen to the delicate promptings of spirit, through the feelings in our heart. And if we do this, taking time each day to contemplate the ripples that move through our day, specifically paying attention to those areas that we reacted to. Fools react. Masters respond. If we are playing the fool, there is definitely an insight to be had. And so, beloved ones, we start out by reminding ourselves that what is before us is not to be feared. It is not to be judged. It is not to be resisted. It is not for us to turn our backs on. For we are at our highest identity, a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. We are not the body, nor a little bundle of thoughts and feelings. We are a consciousness superimposed over every bit of the cosmos. Nothing is excluded from our being, neither the light nor the dark. Are we then, in shunning another, not shunning our own pieces that represent those portions of our being we have not yet uncovered? To fear another is to fear ourselves. To blame another is to not accept ourselves. To see the innocence of another's experiences through forgiveness is to forgive and fully accept ourselves. The second step when confronted with a problem which is but a challenge waiting to yield its insights is indeed, as we have said, that the battle is never with another. It is a battle for perception. The third step that we must then undertake is to remind ourselves that nothing is as it seems, that form hides. Words deceive by their very nature, in leading us to believe that we know what the other one is meaning. But words, that which lies behind form, tomorrow, these are the unknown. They cannot yield their insights to mind. Our intellect cannot grapple with the unknown. It must be felt with our hearts. And so we remind ourselves not to stare blindly at what appears to be, but to know that there is something lurking behind these appearances. Nothing is as it seems. The fourth step reminds us that even though that which we are dealing with is our destiny, It is what we promised the infinite when we were shot forth, like arrows from a bow, to explore the mystery of beingness. Our destiny is that which we promised to solve on behalf of the many. We may be in this one limited instance, putting the final piece of the puzzle together, or beginning a brand new puzzle. But it is one of multiple pieces in the themes of multiple lifetimes to solve a certain portion only we have promised to do. We thus remind ourselves that it is for this that we came, that we are seeking to turn the unknown into the known, that it is the purpose of every creature's existence to do so. We therefore remind ourselves not to back away from the challenge. And that even though from this vantage point of this one moment in one life, we may not solve the complete puzzle, we shall still try, for this puzzle must have each one of its pieces. And thus our destiny becomes fulfilled. And so, having looked behind the appearances and reminded ourselves not to get attached to the outcome, that we have nothing to lose and everything to gain, when our battle is one that battles for perception. And now we come to the fifth step, the place where we remember that every single event in our life was designed by our higher self, that we have co-created and designed this very problem to maximize our opportunity to fulfill our contract with the infinite, with all life forms, that we would valiantly solve our specific area of the equation. And as we remember that we have co-created it, we also remember that there is equal value upon the stage for the ones that play the villain and the one that plays the hero. All must therefore benefit equally from whatever solution there may be for the problem in front of us. If it is that we have to draw our boundaries, if it is that justice needs to be done, so be it. Then that is our gift to the perpetrator, to know that this behavior is not life-enhancing nor acceptable. But let the justice we may find that we have to do be done mercifully. And mercifully means remembering the innocence of all behavior, all experience. And in our sixth step, we contemplate what is really going on in the grandest scale of things. And it is the solving of the mystery of the infinite being, that for which the one expressed as the many. We are each responsible for our own specific evolution. But even as we evolve awareness within our own lives, by seeing that offenses are not really what they look like, so we push all life a little further along the road of evolution, of awareness, of the gaining of knowledge. It is time for us now to see how we gain these insights. They are in 9 steps. The first 5, gathering the insights, and the last 4, making the attitude adjustments based on those insights the experience has yielded. The first question that we ask is, what is the lesson? What is it that I can learn from this? Either by watching my brother's folly, or by observing where reactions arise within me. Is the lesson that I must speak my truth? Is the lesson that I cannot feel unheard when I do not voice my feelings? And then the second step. Define the roles. What role am I playing? Is it the role of perpetrator? Is it the role of victim? Is it the role of always mothering or nurturing those who are needy? Carefully look at the role you're playing and why. Do I settle for feeling needed because I feel unlovable? And the third step, we identify the contracts. Past life regressions often reveal that lifetime after lifetime, we have interacted with the same soul group in our life. And sometimes, we have played the perpetrators, those that have illusion, and then they have played the victims. But we have weaved and intertwined with these soul groups, incarnating again and again, in order to gain insights that benefit each other's tasks assigned to them by the infinite. And next we ask, what are the mirrors? The mirrors reflected by behavior of others in our environment are mirrors that we are, mirrors of that which we still need to develop or become. Mirrors of that which we judge, and mirrors of that which we have lost or given away. Those mirrors are reflected again and again. One of the hardest ones to observe is that which we are. It is the mirror that masters focus on, as we shall see. For when we see ourselves as all things, a great secret lies within this mirror. But let us look a little further. The next and fifth question to ask is, what is the gift? For every being that comes before us comes to give us a gift and to get a gift. We must ask always, what is the gift I have to give this person this day? And what gift did I just receive? If we have truly spent time with great care gaining these insights, it is now time for attitude adjustments until complete forgiveness hallows the experience. Like the sun turns golden the leaves as it sets. First of all, we must ask, can I allow others to make their own mistakes, recognizing that a day without failure is a day without growth. In the case of juveniles, where mistakes could potentially ruin their lives, perhaps the answer will be no. We must always ask, can I also allow myself to continue in this situation? Beloveds, to accept the unacceptable is disrespectful to the divinity within. It is not saintly, it is dysfunctional. Accepting the unacceptable keeps the other one locked into behavior that is not from their highest identity. And it keeps us in the role of victim. Can I allow myself to continue to be in relationships where I give and others take, and there is very little given in return? It is in these instances where the insights are so valuable. Perhaps, in a relationship like that, we can see what is the lesson then, that I might step off this treadmill. And the lesson is that the other person asks the incorrect question. For I might ask, what is the most I can give? And the other one might ask, what is the most I can get for the least I can give? And next, we come to the seventh step. Can I accept? Can I accept that life is moving through me as it is through another. That the other one is coming from pain, from anger, from rage, from fear. Or else, these deeds that are needed to be forgiven would not have occurred. When there is not proper use of emotions, when we do not realize that pain is but the desire to change, that anger is the desire to break up stagnation, that fear is but the desire to retreat, indicating those portions of existence that we have not yet embraced in our full understanding and compassion. To use these emotions the way they were meant is to enhance growth. But when they are directed instead at another, and blame or judgment is attached, they become twisted. Most have so much accumulated pain from the many insights that have pushed, trying to be released and set free to fly as insight. They have tried to push it below, tried to push it behind, anywhere where they didn't need to look at it. Such accumulated pain can come out in spurts of rage. For rage is the result of light that is denied. Of where the other person is coming from. Acceptance that all experience is innocent. That the blind spots we come into this life with, we deliberately cultivate it, for they are that which will help us find that diamond buried in the mountain. That is our next insight. When we live gathering insights from every event that causes ripples in our awareness, those very blind spots will become our strong suits. They were designed to be, for these mirror exactly the areas where we need to get our diamonds out of the mountain. And now we ask, can I release? Can I release the feeling that something was done to me? It is impossible, since my higher self helped design it. Nothing can be taken, but it must be restored. Underneath the illusion of injustice, the perfection of life will restore any loss with a gain. It must be restored. Can I trust life enough to release all feelings of unforgiveness, all feelings that the person has guilt? And then, when all these things have been done, we are presented with the ninth step. a golden opportunity. For it is the step that turns the stumbling blocks into stepping stones. It is the step that can create hardship as a tool for ascension. Gratitude, praise, and love are the three primary ascension attitudes. When they are felt from the heart, every piece of lead in our life is turned to gold. They are the alchemist's potion. They turn density into light. If we have truly seen the value of those experiences we regarded as negative, painful, but we have found the insights they have brought, the gifts, the mirrors, the lessons. When that occurs, my beloved ones, gratitude will surely flood our soul. And when it does, illusion melts away. If even in the midst of our hardships, we can feel but a fragment of gratitude, insights will far more effortlessly reveal themselves. We are the light promoters. We are the warriors against illusion. Would it be worthy of that which we undertook to covet a life of ease? A life in the sluggish waters of the marsh, where there is no movement and no growth? Let us embrace our challenges. They are not our foes, they are our allies. But as gratitude and love and praise for the divine perfection underlying all these appearances flood our soul and our very being, we will find one day that through stepping on our stumbling blocks, we have become a master that remembers that he or she is not the play, that remembers that all things are within them. It is at that point that the master sees every mirror as a mirror of him or herself. If we can detect it in another, it is somewhere within ourselves. The master therefore uses a different technique. The master observes the action of another and knows that even though it may be grossly aggravated, somewhere it is within himself. And so he finds that behavior within himself and he changes it. And when he does, it changes in the exterior as well. For truly, there is no interior and exterior. And life is but a mirror of that which we need to solve within. If he observes the exploitation of innocence, he looks inside himself to see whether his inner child has had enough time to play, is honored, is properly parented by the inner nurturer. If our inner child is abused, we shall certainly see such abuse of innocence in our mirrors. Perhaps the hardest place to find the power of forgiveness is within our own experiences. Forgiving ourselves is oftentimes harder, and the reason for this lies in growth itself. It is difficult for us to see how far we come. We are like mountain climbers, and as we climb the mountain, it looks flatter and flatter and flatter. But when we stood at the base of it, it looked very high indeed. If, years ago, we did certain actions that we are blaming ourselves for, it is those very mistakes that have made us now see so clearly. Beloved ones, if we remove our mistakes, we must also give up the corresponding perception that they yielded, the vision they brought. They are the illumination givers. We acted from a level that we were at that time. And it is these actions that have changed us, so that now in looking back, we cannot conceive that we could have done those things. Let us look at the loves that have been lost. Foolishness from where we stand. Loving those who proved so unworthy, we might say. Why is it that when we look at the actions of others, at their loves, that we are not so critical as we are with our own? Perhaps it is that we have sensed deep inside that all beings should be loved as passionately as we did those whom we did not see clearly, and who perhaps were not worthy of our love. Is it that we feel guilt because we feel we should love God, the infinite, the all creations, as we love ourselves? Yet only a few times did we love that strongly. And it might have turned into ashes. But it is the tears we cry, the losses we have in relationship, that carves out hollows within our soul where deep compassion can be kept. It is in our folly that wisdom is born. In having loved another so deeply, we can now compassionately feel for others. The poets have said, 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. How true for those that have never felt the sting of love can also not feel its joy. Those that wish to live in a seasonless place where they love but only a little, where they cry but not enough tears, will find that there is also a scant supply of joy. For where there are no tears, there can also be no joy. Let us therefore forgive ourselves, no more to carry a burden of guilt or blame.